Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn in studio with me, a homeschool father of six, and we just about graduated all of our children, actually.
Yeah.
Abigail graduated just a couple months ago.
I still have two.
So you still have two to go.
Yeah.
And, but we are engaged in family economy as a family. What, four of my daughters are working with this ministry still. And my son just comes in to give me a little advice from time to time.
But yeah, we see more than you.
Yeah, you do. But thankful for everything that God has done in our children's lives. And he's growing them, he's growing us, and we're thankful for that. Well, today, friends, we want to come back to the question of freedom. Indeed, we want to fight for freedom. Freedom is a value. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us that if you can be free, use it. Rather, you are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. We've been brought by a price, and that is the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's possible for us to gain some freedoms from the unnecessary servitude of men, it would do us well to seek it out and to take advantage of it. And that's the principle from 1 Corinthians 7. And I encourage you to think of freedom and liberty out from under the tyrannical influences of the state as a value. Now, we can't always. Paul says, if you can use it rather. He says, that, you know, it's possible that you are restrained and constrained by these governments. And if so be, then just, he says, be content with where you are. So there should be a contentment about our condition. But he says, if you can be free, so if you can take advantage of the opportunity for freedom, use it rather. And I give a full defense of a Christian valuation of freedom and a Christian definition of freedom in my book, The Story of Freedom, which has been just released again. Steve, here's an article, I think somewhat of an important article, written by John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, recorded in lewrockwell.com, which is a famous kind of libertarian type of online blogosphere. And the title to the article is The U.S. Government, the Enemy of the People, America's Lost Liberties Post 9/11. And I just want you to get a flavor for this, Steve. I know you haven't seen this article yet, but I'd like to read it to you and to the listening audience because I want to respond to it. I think it does bring up some important points, but we need to be able to bring an answer to these sorts of concerns and these sorts of arguments. What began with the post 9/11 passage of the USA Patriot Act, says Whitehead, has finally snowballed into the eradication of every vital safeguard against government overreach, corruption, and abuse. The citizenry's unquestioning acquiescence to anything that government wants to do in exchange for the phantom promise of safety and security has resulted in a society where the nation is being locked down into a militarized, mechanized, hypersensitive, legalistic, self-righteous, goose-stepping antithesis of every principle upon which this nation was founded. Set against a backdrop of government surveillance, militarized police, SWAT team raids, asset forfeiture, eminent domain, overcriminalization, armed surveillance drones, whole body scanners, stop and frisk searches, police violence and the like, all of which have been sanctioned by Congress, the White House, and the courts, our constitutional freedoms have been steadily chipped away at, undermined, eroded, whittled down, and generally discarded. Free speech, the right to protest, the right to challenge government wrongdoing, due process, a presumption of innocence, the right to self-defense, accountability, and transparency in government, privacy, press, sovereignty, assembly, bodily integrity, representative government, all of these and more have been casualties in the government's war on the American people, a war that has grown more pronounced since 9/11. While nearly 3,000 people died in the 9/11 attacks, the U.S. government and its agents have easily killed at least 10 times that number of civilians in the United States and abroad since 9/11 through its police shootings, SWAT team raids, drone strikes, profit-driven efforts to police the globe, selling weapons to foreign nations, which too often fall into the hands of terrorists, and foment civil unrest in order to keep the government industrial complex gainfully employed. The American people have been treated like enemy combatants, to be spied on, tracked, scanned, frisked, searched, subjected to all manner of intrusions, intimidated, invaded, raided, manhandled, censored, silenced, shot at, locked up, denied due process, and killed. And then he goes on to give example after example, and the article goes on and on and on and on and on and on. John Whitehead I believe, is a professing Christian. He certainly was involved with Francis Schaeffer and some of those worldview ministries back in the 1980s. John Whitehead represented the Rutherford Institute, the article on lewrockwell.com. And as I mentioned, he goes on and on and on and on and on and on with the many, many examples of the draconian state that has increasingly expanded in the United States of America. And I don't even think you have to go to these examples, Steve. I think you just simply look at the extent to which government has grown as a percentage of the GNI over the last 100 years. That's all I do. I just say, okay, well, what percent of life or the national economy is all these governments? They're sucking up over half of the gross national income in any given year. That means there must be a lot of bureaucrats doing a lot of different things and regulating and strangling the economy as quickly as they possibly can. So, you know, I just draw the conclusion from the increase of government spending as a percentage of the GNI. I think that's the best way to do it. Now, you can go through the 180 examples of how government then tyrannizes the people, but the best way, the most convenient way, to analyze the increase of government surveillance and involvement in our lives is simply by going to the government spending as a percentage of the GNI and government debt.
Yeah, and I think it was Jefferson or someone, one of our founding fathers, that said a government that is big enough to give you everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. And that's really what's going on.
It is. And yet, of course, the frogs in the slowly boiling water, not really aware of it. And if they are aware of it, they are seeking salvation from government anyway. And so they are supporting exactly what John Whitehead is condemning. Be back with more in just a moment on The Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Steve Vaughn also in studio, looking at John Whitehead's article on lewrockwell.com. Somewhat of a libertarian site, but complaining about the massive increase in government force and government involvement in our lives, especially since 9/11. And he goes on and on and gives example after example after example after example of how government continues to control and to increase its control over every single aspect of our lives. This is a government that speaks in a language of force. Militarized police, riot squads, camouflage gear, black uniforms, armored vehicles, mass arrests, pepper spray, tear gas, batons, strip searches, surveillance cameras, and on it goes. This is a government that justifies all manner of government tyranny and power grabs in the so-called name of national security, national crises, and national emergencies. This is a government that believes it has the authority to search, seize, strip, scan, spy on, probe, pat down, laser, taser, and arrest any individual at any time for the slightest provocation. And on it goes. So where does this leave us? He has a solution, and that is, as always, the first step begins with we the people. All right, so now that's apparently the solution. Okay. Now I'm going to say that's not the root solution to the problem, but does educating people about the problem really help? Does whining about the problem really help? I wonder this sometimes. I know the argument is if you just educate the people about these problems but refuse to acknowledge that Christ is the solution to the problems of anarchy and tyranny, because tyranny inevitably plays off in anarchy. So if you're not going to bring in Christ as the solution to the nation's problem and the salvation that he brings to us as people believe in Christ, turn to Christ, stop trusting in government and start trusting in the salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, and they repent of their sins and they receive the laws of God as the thing that they need to obey, and they become more self-governed, inevitably tyranny begins to diminish. But see, they don't see it that way. They don't present the solution that way. And I think that's a problem. Steve, I know people that sit there and they educate themselves over and over and over again about governmental problems. Like, they'll sit around watching Alex Jones. I know people who watch Alex Jones. They download Alex Jones. I mean, they take him intravenously.
Yeah.
While they're puffing on marijuana.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people like this.
Yeah.
They'll watch the Alex Jones. Now, I'm not saying everybody watches Alex Jones, sits around puffing on marijuana, but I'm just saying, you know, people are like this. They like to point at the problem and say, you know, we have found the enemy.
Yeah.
And it is the CFR. But here's the problem. We have found the enemy, and it is...
It's really us.
Us, yeah. The guy sitting around puffing on marijuana watching Alex Jones, he's the enemy. He just doesn't realize it. We have found the enemy. It is us. Kind of reminds me of the London Times sending out a question to all of the leading academics and intellects of the day in, what, 1910, and receiving G.K. Chesterton's response to their question. The question was, what's wrong with the world? G.K. Chesterton, dear editor, I am. Sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton.
Yeah.
See, that's the issue. But it seems to me we don't come back to this. Like, we need to do a full circle and see again and again that the problem is right here. The problem is in the human heart. The problem is we disobey the laws of God. It's the guys who are sitting around doing porn. It's the guys who are divorcing their wives. It's the fornication that goes on, and the 57% of kids that are born outside of wedlock to millennial young women in 2017. That's the problem. And yet people will not acknowledge that's the problem. The problem is that anarchy, that is the constant breaking of the laws of God, give way to tyranny. And tyranny is only an attempt to, in some ways, harness the anarchy of a society.
Yeah. My daughter one time did a speech. She researched, you know, people, making people aware. She called her speech Making People Aware of Awareness. And that when people become just aware of problems, the problems actually get worse, because the people who become aware think they're actually doing something by having the knowledge of the problem. So I know about the problem, I feel good about myself, but then they don't do anything about the problem. They become aware of the problem, but they don't do anything.
They get a
it.
Certain kind of arrogance or pride in sitting around saying, I know what the problem is, and they think of themselves as better than others who don't know what the problem is. It reminds me a little bit of the aphorism, there are those who make things happen, there are those who watch things happen, and there are those who wonder what happened.
Yeah.
What we're saying is there's not much difference between those who watch what happened and those who wonder what happened. There's very little difference between the two. If anything, the one who watches things happen but doesn't find any solution to it or present any solution to it or attempt to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would add something of a solution, I mean a big solution to the problem, they won't go there because they feel content to just know about the problem, whereas the other poor schlocks that didn't show up for this update don't even know what the problem is. So they feel somewhat better than those who are sitting around wondering what happened.
Yeah, and just by feeling better about something, sending good thoughts or anything like that, doesn't do anything for the problem.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, not at all. So, friends, I think the other thing that happens as people sit around and they just imbibe these conspiratorial theories, or they sit around whining all day long about what the government is doing, ultimately they wind up in paralysis and often fearfulness of the enemy, somehow thinking that the enemy is omniscient, omnipresent, all-sovereign, and they begin to think that God is not in control. And they begin to think of themselves as not having any responsibility because the demonic forces, the forces of evil, are just so strong that they just can't oppose them. So these are the drawbacks. These are the the wrong responses to discovering something of the problem.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the old Flip Wilson show when it, you know, the solution to everything was, or the maker of the problems was, the devil made me do it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, actually, the ultimate solution is not democracy.
No, it isn't.
The solution is obeying God and looking to God as Savior and not looking to the government. I think of Ben Franklin's statement, either you'll be governed by God or by God, you will be governed. By God, he will see to it that you will be governed. You will be tyrannized. Either you'll be governed by God, either you'll be submitting yourself to the commandments of God in your own personal life and be self-governed according to the commandments of God and maintain your family and lead your family according to the commandments of God and not blow up your family by some divorce or by hooking yourself up to some pornographic channel and destroying your sons and your daughters and your relationships in the family, eventually destroying your marriage. Either you'll be governed by God or you will be governed. God will see to it that you will be tyrannized, and he will tyrannize the living daylights out of you. Now, that's the founders of this nation understood that principle. It basically comes back to people looking to government as a savior. They seek security from government. But Exodus 20 says, think about how the Ten Commandments begin. I am the Lord your God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That is, God is the Savior. God is the one who will save you from the bondage of your sin and from the tyrannical influences of the state. But then, therefore, keep my commandments. So that's the way the gospel goes in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. By grace you are saved through faith, and you are his workmanship now in Christ Jesus, created unto good works. Same thing for the message of the gospel in the Old Testament. I am the Lord your God who have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Savior. Look to me in faith as your Savior, first and foremost. And then, oh yeah, one more thing. Here are 10 commandments. Keep my commandments. But what happens with modern Americans is Americans don't look to God to save them. They look to the government.
The government, yeah.
So that's the first problem. They look to government for security, and government gives them security. Ultimately, somebody said security in the graveyard.
Yeah.
The government will kill you and give you security in the graveyard. Government security is not a good security. Social security is not a good security.
It's not security.
Government salvation is not a good salvation. Government promises the security, and that's why people are willing to sign up for all of the massive increase of the police state that we have seen since 9/11. That's why. Because the American public has rejected God. They've turned away from Jesus, and they say, I will not turn to Christ as one who will give me the salvation, this security that I need in my life.
Yeah, they turn government into their God, and government is happy to take on that role, but government makes a very poor God.
So two reasons why John Whitehead is facing this massive increase of a tyranny in the United States of America. One is Americans are looking to the government as a savior instead of looking to Christ, the savior of God. But secondly, Americans don't keep God's commandments. And if they will not keep God's commandments, if they will continue to drive up the percentage of children born outside of wedlock, if they continue with their pornography addictions, if they continue with their no-fault divorces, then inevitably the government will increase its control over their family. Governments will increase their control over the social services programs. Government will increase their control over medical care. Government will increase their control over every aspect of your life. And the Proverbs will come through one more time and say, for the transgression of the land, many are the princes, the bureaucrats, and the tyranny thereof. That's the book of Proverbs. For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. See, John Whitehead is concerned for the princes and for the tremendous increase in tyranny over this country. Well, why? Why does God bring this upon this nation? For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. So let's close this thing. How do we respond to tyranny? Well, number one, let's endure persecution and tyranny without grumbling. See, complaining is not a response. It's not a right response. There needs to be something of a measure of contentment and a reception of the trials and tribulations that God brings to us. So there needs to be something of a contentment. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And that is, let's remember, this ain't heaven here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, secondly, agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way with him. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ gave to us. And if we happen to be under a tyranny, friends, this principle does apply, that, you know, I fought the law and the law won. I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy. And that's the problem with an all-out anarchism. The Bible gives us something of a encouragement not to bind ourselves up in petty quarrels with petty bureaucrats. The Lord Jesus gives us this. Think about, you know, some petty bureaucrat came to the Lord and said, I need a temple tax. And he said, what did he say? He says, go find a fish. We had a bureaucratic problem recently in the family, and my kids were, what do we do with this? I said, go find a fish, get a coin, and pay the tax, lest we offend them. You see, that's what Jesus mm-hmm. says. So Jesus said, they'll get all tied up in every little bureaucratic nightmare, but just pay the tax and be done with it. See, that's the attitude of, that's the wisdom of our Savior. He says, okay, we've got to deal with tyranny. Well, okay, just don't sweat it. Go find a fish, take the coin out of its mouth, and pay the tax, lest we offend them. Thirdly, if the government is forcing you to violate God's law, such as to have an abortion or to teach your children an ungodly worldview in the public schools, I think you've got to resist that. You've got to resist that. You've got to disobey the government. But that's only if the government is forcing you to disobey God's law, then you do not comply. Fourthly, should you join in protest with fellow Hong Kong Christians and friends who are fighting for liberties, appropriate liberties, as defined by the laws of God? And my answer is the Apostle Paul did. He used his rights as a Roman citizen to protest unlawful imprisonment and at one point to appeal to Caesar.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul did it. Of course we can do it. We have a right to protest against government abuses. Of course. Peaceful protest? Absolutely. Voting? Absolutely. But here, pray for godly leaders. We need godly leaders more than anything else, I think, in this nation. We need principled leaders, which ultimately come from a principled nation. The reason we don't have principled leaders is because we don't have principled churches. We don't have principled families. Men who rule their own households well, who are called to rule in government, are men we can support. Men who fear God. Men who love righteousness. We don't want men who have three divorces, use the F word, and drive their own companies into bankruptcy to be president of the United States, for example.
Yeah.
We're looking for men of integrity, wise men who have a record of fearing God and following his commandments. All right. And finally, seek out the islands of freedom. Paul says, if you can be free, use it rather. So I encourage in my book, The Story of Freedom, that we apply the opportunities, that we get involved in the islands of freedom that have been made available to us by the mercies of God, by the providential direction of God. Friends, we have tremendous opportunities for liberty. You don't have to send your kids into the jails, I mean the public schools, where they're going to be indoctrinated in the wrong worldviews. You have freedom in all 50 states to take your kids out of these schools and to give them an education in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So Christian home education is an island of freedom. Christian medical sharing ministries is an island of freedom where you don't have to pay for abortifacients. You don't have to pay for drugs that will kill kids through your insurance programs. You don't have to submit yourselves to Obamacare and all the regulations related to Obamacare. You don't have to sign up for socialist medicine. You can exempt yourself from the controls that inevitably come with these insurance programs with Christian medical sharing ministries and the Christian midwifery ministry as well that we have supported for some 7 years. We had, 17 midwives being trained in our basement the last week. It was just last week. And that, of course, another means of keeping our families from forced immunizations and eventually forced abortions. And I think that's probably going to come, Steve. Well, friends, we have these islands of freedom that absolutely are available to Christians who have the faith to step out and avail themselves to this freedom. If you can be free, use it rather. That's the principle that comes to us from God's word. Friends, I encourage you to my book, The Story of Freedom, which also ends with a detail concerning the battle for freedom that wages in our nation today, and how you can take advantage of the islands of freedom and enjoy the liberty that you have in Christ by this amazing island of freedom that has been provided for Christians who have the faith to avail themselves to it. The Story of Freedom is a book that has just been released with a study guide. It's all available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.